open your Bible to John chapter 1. Guys, you have a little bit of time to get that going. I'll just extend the introduction a little bit. We'll be just fine. John chapter 1 is where you're going, though. I think it's page 886 if you're using one of the pew Bibles in front of you. That'll get you close if it's not exactly right. So I would love for you to open a copy of God's Word or pull it up on your phone. John chapter 1. Verses 4 through 13 is where we will be this morning. And so we'd love for you to get there and follow along with us today. I think there are three different approaches people take when it comes to Christmas spirit. Okay? Three different approaches when it comes to Christmas spirit. Some of you are just all in on Christmas. You are all in. Christmas music starts playing November 1st for you. You have a countdown on your phone, right? You're in competition with Clark Griswold for lights on your house, right? You just deck out your whole house in this. There's only two channels that are allowed to be on TV. What used to be ABC Family and Hallmark, right? Those are the only two channels that you're allowed to have on your television this time of year. You think the best way to spread Christmas cheer is by singing loud for all to hear. You are in. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year for you. Second category of people, some of you are more neutral. You're just sort of neutral about Christmas. You're fine with Christmas. There are some things that annoy you about it, right? There's certain songs that you think are overplayed. If you hear Santa Claus is coming to town one more time, it's just going to drive you crazy. But you enjoy time with your family, or maybe you like cookies, or there's a couple movies that you enjoy watching each year. So Christmas is just nice, right? You're okay with it. Christmas is nice for you. You're more neutral about it. And then there's a third category of people, and those are my friends that are Christmas skeptics, right? You're not really a fan of this season at all. You find everything about this season either annoying or overdone or unnecessary or fake. You just think Christmas is way overhyped. Oh, way overhyped. Maybe you don't go full Grinch or full Scrooge, but you're excited for January 2nd to get here, right? Like, you're just ready for this season to be over. And if you are in that category, this Christmas skeptic category, this introduction is one you will appreciate, okay? This one's for my Christmas skeptics this morning. Because I like Christmas. I mean, I really do. I have so many great Christmas memories from when I was a kid. I'm not all in on Christmas. I'm not in that first category, but I like Christmas. You just won't be able to tell that for about the next 4 minutes, okay? So just hang on. Because if you think about what Christmas has come to be in our culture, it's really remarkable when you think about it. Right? Because no other holiday gets the treatment that Christmas does. No other holiday gets 2 months of buildup. Right? No other holiday is its own genre of music. Have you thought about that? No other holiday is its own genre of music. No other holiday is its own season, right? We don't say it's Easter season or that it's 4th of July season, but we say it's Christmas season, right? Because it is. It really is Christmas season. No other holiday single-handedly keeps bells relevant, right? But Christmas does. Christmas does. We sing about bells and we jingle bells and we do all these things just because of Christmas. And I think all of the marketing and all of the movies and all of the specials and all of the sales are capitalizing on what people in those departments know to be true of our culture. And what they know to be true of our culture is we are not happy. All right? We're not. We are not happy. Our lives aren't that great. And so the core message that you see in commercials this time of year is you are lacking something. We know you are longing for more, and for 1 month, right, we get to act like everything is merry and bright, right? We get to say it's 'tis the season to be jolly, whatever that means. They describe this season as magical. It's magical. Enjoy the wonder of the season. So we can decorate and make everything look pretty. Right? Our kids can sit on an old man's lap and tell them they were good this year, even though they weren't, right? Like, there's no way they were. They're sinners, okay? Like, but they can tell an old man that they were good, and they can tell him what they want for Christmas. For 1 month, we can act like we can afford to buy all of our family these gifts, right? Don't worry about the credit card bill. You have plenty of time to worry about that in January when you're miserable again, right? But for now, enjoy the season. And for some reason, our culture as a whole has bought it. We bought it. We act like we know how fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, right? Like, I have no idea how fun that would be. We believe that all of Bing Crosby's childhood Christmases were white, right? Like yours were when you were a kid. There's no way that, maybe this year will be too. It won't be here. 20% chance in New Jersey of having a white Christmas on a year-to-year basis on average. I looked it up. 20% chance is what they say, and this is not going to be in that 20%. We bought into the idea that this is the most wonderful time of the year, yet it's the time when levels of depression are higher than ever. It's times when suicide are at their highest rate. Right? After Christmas is over, people are often disappointed or exhausted or just relieved it's done. Merry Christmas, everybody. So glad that you're here today, right? But no, I like Christmas. I really do. I'm looking forward to taking our kids to grandma's house on Christmas morning. But I think everything Christmas has come to be in our culture reveals something about our spiritual condition. I think that there is a longing in everyone's hearts for more. The songs of Christmas resonate beyond those who are followers of Jesus because people want joy. They want peace. They want hope. We want our days to be merry and bright, but that's not reality. And the reality is our world is dark and things are broken. And rather than our hopes being fulfilled, they usually end in disappointment. And the Christmas season will always be disappointing if we expect it to do what only Jesus can do. Christmas is a wonderful season. It's a terrible God. Right? And when good things become ultimate things, they become bad things. And so Christmas isn't good enough on its own. It doesn't last. It doesn't really bring what people are looking for. And that brings us to John chapter 1. John is introducing us in his first chapter of the gospel that he wrote. He's introducing us to Jesus. I said last week that I believe the beginning of John helps us think about Christmas correctly because it helps us think about Jesus correctly. And I think so much of the longing of the human heart is a longing for light. It's a longing for light. We want to be able to see. We want to see joy. We want to see hope. We want to see peace. And so this morning, I want us to learn about the true light of Christmas. I want to learn about the true light of Christmas. Look at John chapter 1. And let me read for you verses 4 and 5. John, speaking about Jesus, says this: "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The first thing John tells us about true light is that true light overcomes the darkness. This is a pretty big claim that John makes in verse 5 when you think about it. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is not talking about a literal light that overcomes like the darkness of your room. He is saying that there is a light that overcomes the darkness of our world. And that doesn't always feel true, does it? That doesn't always feel true. I'm sure many of you, if you were being honest, would say that verse 5, "the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it," doesn't reflect your current reality. It's one of those verses that maybe works for other people, it makes them feel good, but it doesn't work for you. Because when we look at our world, there is a sense that darkness appears to be winning. Isn't that true? When you look around, sickness and disease appears to be winning. Hate appears to be winning. Injustice appears to be winning. Lies appear to be winning. Immorality appears to be winning. Poverty appears to be winning. I loved the privilege of delivering gifts to families for Angel Tree. I love being able to talk and pray with people and be in their homes and to hear some of their stories. But it was just another reminder of the needs that are just all around us. The pain that's all around us. The confusion that's all around us. And this is part of why Christmas is a hard time for so many. Maybe many of you here in this room, because there's a loved one who's supposed to be at the table who won't be there this year. Or there's a conflict in your family that you would rather not be confronted with. Or Wednesday is going to include painful reminders that your life to this point hasn't turned out the way that you planned. And then outside of ourselves, you look at the greater issues of our city and of our world, and then you read this verse that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't win, and that doesn't feel as true as we want it to be. So what do we do? In the middle of the pain and the heartache and disappointment and confusion, how can we be assured of darkness's defeat and light's victory? Here's the answer that John gives. The true light overcomes the darkness because Jesus is the light. And that one sentence alone isn't necessarily supposed to make you feel better, right? Because John is giving us truth about Jesus so we can know the character of the light that is shining in the darkness. So just saying Jesus is the light doesn't necessarily help unless we know the truth that John has communicated to us about Jesus. Last week's message really serves as an introduction to show the significance of this truth. That Jesus is the light. So look back at verse 1 of John chapter 1. Look at what he tells us about Jesus. This is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And there's so much truth in those three verses. And the first truth that John wants us to know about God is that he communicates, that Jesus is the Word. He wants us to know who he is, so he has communicated with us. Secondly, John wants us to know that the story of Jesus doesn't begin because Jesus doesn't have a beginning. In the beginning, Jesus already was. He is eternal. He always has been and always will be. Because thirdly, Jesus wasn't just eternally in communion with God. He wasn't just with God. He was God from the beginning. He is the second person of the Trinity. He's God the Son. So he not only was in communion with God from the beginning, but he is God. And fourthly, not only does Jesus not have a beginning, but he gave everything else its beginning because he's the creator of all things. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John is emphasizing the totality of Jesus' work as creator, which then leads right into verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, verses 1 through 3, and all that we learn about Jesus, that he's the embodiment of God's communication, that he is eternal, that he is God himself, that he is the creator of all things, all of that is meant to give us assurance of the overpowering nature of light in the battle against darkness. The battle of darkness versus light is a battle of darkness versus Jesus, who always has been and always will be. Long before darkness entered the world, the light of Jesus was already shining. And after darkness has been defeated, the light of Jesus will still be shining. So I in no way want to minimize the depth of darkness that you may be experiencing, but I do want to emphasize the expanse of the light of Christ, because I believe he can invade your darkness today, because the light of Jesus is not static like a lamppost. The true light is moving because it's alive. Jesus is living light. So it's not just staying in one place and people have to come to him in order to see. No, the light invades the darkness. It goes to it. It is living. It is moving. You see, these five verses, John 1, 1 through 5, we learn that if we ever question whether light will truly defeat the darkness, we are actually questioning whether Jesus is greater than the darkness. Because he is the light. But not only that, when we question whether light will defeat the darkness, we are questioning whether the Creator is greater than his creation. Because nothing came into existence outside of Christ. But not only that, when we question whether light will defeat the darkness, we are questioning whether what is eternal is greater than what is temporary. Because darkness and death had a beginning and will have an end. The light of life always has been and always will be, because Jesus is the light. And that's why the light shines in the darkness, and darkness can't overcome it. But the true light, being greater than the darkness, does us no good if that light stays separate from the places that are dark. The light of the sun doesn't help in a room with no windows. But the reason we should celebrate Christmas is because the true light came to the darkness. The true light came to the darkness. Jump down to verse 9 of John chapter 1. John says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." This is really amazing when you think about these verses, right? True light, unlimited in his ability to illuminate, came to the world that he had created, yet, and that yet in verse 10 is bad news, yet the world did not know him. Look at verse 11. "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." True light came to the darkness, and creation rejected their creator. He came to his own people that he made, and they did not receive him. Think about how crazy that is for just a second, right? Think about this. The Creator came to his creation, and creation was so blinded by their sin that they looked at the Creator of the world and the Creator of themselves and decided it was best to kill him. And before we get too critical of the people in Jesus' day, we have to realize that we as mankind as a whole, our culture, we do the same thing. Because the true light has come to us. We have the real thing. We have access to what our souls are longing for, and instead we settle for counterfeits and substitutes. And I don't know if there's any better example of that than what our culture has done with Christmas. Right? Instead of the true light of the world, we settle for lights on our house. Instead of the greatest gift of all, we settle for the gifts a mythical creature supposedly brings. Right? And this is what our culture has done, and if we're not careful, it's what we will do too. We will throw the biggest party of the year, but we will leave the birthday boy outside. We'll take the good things and we'll make them ultimate things, forgetting that the ultimate thing is what came to us. And I think the longing that drives our world to make a big deal out of Christmas or to make a big deal about other things is good in this sense. It's good in that there is this universal longing for what is eternal. The Bible tells us that God has put eternity in our hearts. There's this universal longing for what is eternal. But the problem is we respond by trying to fill that eternal longing with all these temporary things. And it never works. So we hope that this time our family will get along. And maybe this year we'll have a white Christmas. And maybe this year I'll get a Christmas bonus. And maybe this year I'll be happy. And you can extend this out to all these other things. We put our hopes and we put our dreams in. But temporary things were never meant to satisfy us eternally. We need someone who is eternal to satisfy the eternal longings of our heart. And he came. Right? This is why we can celebrate Christmas. He came. Light came to the darkness. The Creator came to his creation, and we rejected him. His own people did not receive him. And Jesus knew that was the reception he was going to receive, and he still came. Have you thought about that? That he still came. Jesus left heaven, where there are creatures who exist for the sole purpose of worshiping him day and night. That's all they do. There's creatures that just totally dedicated to just worshiping him all day and all night long. And so he left his heavenly throne to come to creatures, mankind, who also exist for the purpose of worshiping him day and night. That's why we were created as well, and that is not what we do. We worship ourselves, we worship created things, and Jesus came knowing that instead of worship, he was going to be despised and rejected. He was going to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that he would be pierced for our transgressions, that he would be crushed for our sins. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived, knowing that he would die the death that you and I deserve to die. He took the just punishment for all of our sin on himself at the cross, and death and darkness thought they had claimed another victim. Death and darkness actually thought they had battled light and won until Jesus rose from the dead, because the true light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven, and the living light of Jesus will invade the darkness of your heart. This is why Jesus, who was the Word from the beginning, came. The good news of Christmas, the reason Christmas is worth celebrating, the reason, feel free, parents, feel free to hype up Christmas with your kids. Go all in if you want to. Go for it this week. Go home and bake some cookies with your family. Do whatever you want to celebrate the season. And here's why. Here's why we enjoy it. Here's why we celebrate it. Here's why we decorate. Look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. Because the true light came to the darkness, you can become a child of God, which means you can become a child of light. This passage teaches us something really important. Teaches us that there is a difference between God being your creator and God being your father. There's a big difference between God being your creator and God being your father. Everyone is his creation. Not everyone is his child. The question is, are you? Are you? Have you received all that Jesus is into your life? You see, the reason people didn't receive him then and people still don't receive him now is because we don't get to accept the parts of Jesus that we like and reject the rest. That's not the choice that we have. We either receive all that Jesus is and all that he's done and all that he says, or we reject all that he is and all that he says and all that he has done. You either receive all of him or you receive none of him. And I love this list from Piper. He says, if he comes to you as Savior, you welcome his salvation. If he comes to you as leader, you welcome his leadership. If he comes to you as provider, you welcome his provision. If he comes to you as counselor, you welcome his counsel. If he comes to you as protector, you welcome his protection. If he comes to you as king, you welcome his rule. Does that list describe what you have done with Jesus? Have you received all that Jesus is into your life? Have the eternal longings of your heart been satisfied by the only one who is eternal? Because our longing for light can only be satisfied in Christ. Our longing for light can only be satisfied in Christ. So this Christmas season, I wanted to tell you, don't turn to temporary things to try to satisfy your eternal longings. We need a light in our life that will continue to shine after the Christmas lights are back in the attic. And if you have received all that Jesus is, that's what sets you free to enjoy the season. This is why you can go all in. You can see all that Christmas offers as reflections of the true light that has come into the world. So you can take your kids to a lit up neighborhood and you can tell them that the Christmas light shining in the darkness of the night should remind us that Jesus, the true light, came to the darkness of this world so we can be children of light. Let the time that you spend with family, even if it's dysfunctional, right? Even if the food doesn't turn out the way you want, or fight about politics breaks out, or whatever happens on Wednesday, or if people ask you questions you don't feel like answering, let the time with family remind you that because of Christmas, you can be part of a greater family. You can be a child of God. We're sons and daughters of a perfect heavenly Father if we receive Jesus into our lives. Let the gifts that are shared remind you that we who were once in darkness have been given the gift of light. That only Christ can satisfy our eternal longings. When we were destined for eternal darkness, Jesus came to give us eternal light. And I hope the true light has overcome the darkness of your life. Because if you will receive all that Jesus is, then your heart will sing this Christmas season, O come, Emmanuel. Light be with us. God be with us. Jesus, you're the only one that can satisfy the longings of our heart. Let me pray for us. God, I am so thankful that you not only put the desire for eternity in our hearts, but you also came to satisfy the eternal desires of our heart. And so, Jesus, I pray that this Christmas season we wouldn't rely on temporary things to try to fill the longings that only you can satisfy. I pray that the good things of Christmas would not become ultimate things to us, but that you would be ultimate. That our desire would be for you to come, for you to invade the dark, for you to bring peace, for you to bring joy, for you to bring hope, that our hopes wouldn't be in everything going right on Christmas morning or having a great Christmas Eve, that our hopes would be in Jesus. The light that shines and that the darkness cannot overcome. So thank you, Jesus, for overcoming the darkness of sin, for overcoming the darkness that is in our lives, and I pray that our longing would be for you this Christmas season. Oh, come, Emmanuel. We pray this in Jesus' name.